like to call our attention again to Matthew 2, 1 through 12. I'll read this passage. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" They were reading from Micah 5, 2. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. May the living God add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his holy word today.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our heavenly Father, we come with awe and reverence before the sacred scriptures today. Truly what we just read was inspired by the Holy Spirit and given through the pen of the Apostle Matthew. We desire that you would teach us today of Jesus Christ our Lord, and teach us about the wise men, what we can learn from them. Build us up in the knowledge of our holy faith, we pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew's gospel is a tremendous revelation of the Old Testament prophecies regarding the arrival of the Messiah, that is, the Christ, into human history. Why did Christ come? Matthew answers this question. He came in order for God to redeem a people for himself, not only out of the Jews, but also out of all the people groups of the world, the Gentiles. Now, the Gospel of Matthew has a particularly Jewish flavor, but it also has the aroma of redemption that encompasses the far-flung peoples of the earth. Now, Matthew's Gospel quotes from the Old Testament 61 times, compared to 31 quotes in Mark, 26 in Luke, and 16 in John. So we can see that Matthew has a lot more reference to the Old Testament than the other Gospels. In fact, one of those quotes is given here in the text we just read from Micah chapter 5, 2, regarding the birthplace of the Messiah, which says, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So this is a great prophecy regarding the exact location where the Messiah would be born. It would be in the town of Bethlehem. Well, where's Bethlehem? It's actually only 5 or 6 miles south of Jerusalem. And it says of this coming person that he would be the great shepherd of his people. He would be the ruler, that is, their king. Well, today let's consider this passage. First of all, let's consider the announcement in the heavens. After Jesus was born, it tells us in verse 1 and 2, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, Where's he who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Well, in those days, Herod was the king of Judea. He reigned in Jerusalem. He was actually from the land of Edom to the east of Judea, or Judah. He was an Edomite. But he'd been put in his position by the Roman government. And so one day, out of nowhere, this group of men arrived from the east. They're actually called Magi. Well, what are the Magi? Who were they? Well, we believe, Bible scholars have studied this question and believe that they were people who were quite educated, knowledgeable in astronomy, perhaps astrology also, and in philosophy and science. And it's likely they came from Persia or Babylonia, that is present-day Iran or Iraq. They came to Jerusalem for an almost unheard-of reason. They'd seen a star, which indicated to them that the Messiah, the King of the Jews, had been born. Well, how did all this happen? How did they know that this star indicated the birth of the King of the Jews? Well, we know a few things. We know that the Jewish people had been scattered throughout that part of the world. First of all, the Assyrian Empire conquered the northern 10 tribes in about 722 BC, 700 years before Christ, and they were scattered and they never returned to the land. And then under Nebuchadnezzar, the southern two kingdoms, Judah and Benjamin, and Jerusalem were conquered and carried off to exile for 70 years in Babylon. Well, when the Jewish people were scattered, they took, at least many of them did, their religion and their scriptures with them. Now, as you know, the scriptures were not in books, but they were on scrolls. And so they would share their knowledge of Yahweh God with pagan peoples around them. And so this is likely how the Magi came to learn something of the Hebrew scriptures. They learned that there would be an anointed one by the Spirit, a descendant of David, who would come and be the ruler of all. Now, there's really no other way that they could have known all this except through some kind of knowledge of the scriptures. Now, a key text that probably guided them is one found in Numbers 24:17, which says, "A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter," that's a king's rod, "shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheph." A star will come out of Jacob, out of the land of Israel. Well, this is probably the text that the Holy Spirit used to let them know that the Messiah King had been born in the land of Judea. Well, probably these Magi knew a lot of other scriptures. For example, they probably had read Isaiah 9:6, which says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Well, if they were familiar with the scripture, and if by the Spirit of God they connected the appearance of that star to scriptures such as these, they had a realization that this great Messiah King had been born. Well, they had read, I believe, these scriptures. They meditated on them. And when the star appeared, they knew they had to go. They had to go and see this Messiah King. They had to offer him worship. They had to bring him gifts. The Holy Spirit, no doubt, was compelling them to go. Well, The announcement was made in the heavens to this star. This great event had taken place. The promised Messiah King was born. And so they go. They traveled hundreds of miles. We don't know what kind of hardships they might have gone through to get there to Jerusalem. Perhaps robbers, perhaps bad weather, opposition from their own people, their own family. You're crazy. What are you doing going to Jerusalem to see some kind of supposed birth of a king? But they resisted all the opposition, all the obstacles, and they went. They were determined to go and find this newborn Messiah king. So they arrive in Jerusalem. And they begin asking questions. Where's the newborn king? It says in verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. He wasn't rejoicing. The scriptures were being fulfilled. He was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Now, King Herod was not by any means a devout man. In fact, he was the opposite. He was known to be cruel and ruthless. And he enjoyed his position as king. And we heard about this newborn king of the Jews. He was very upset. He wanted no rival to his throne. But the amazing thing is, you could expect this from an ungodly man like him, but the people of the city were also disturbed. Instead of rejoicing in the possibility that the Messiah had been born, they were also upset. Probably they were worried that their comfortable way of life, settling in with their Roman overseers, would be disrupted. Their income might have decreased. And so they were upset also. Well, we go on and we read the next section, verses 5 through 6. We read the prediction of the prophet from Micah 5:2 regarding Bethlehem, the land of Judah. You are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, the scribes and the chief priests, who were familiar with the scriptures, knew exactly where this text was and what it was doing. It was prophesying the birthplace of the Messiah. The word Bethlehem means the city of bread. And here the true bread from heaven would come down to give life to the world, to those who would believe in him. And his blood would be shed to cover the sins of those who had faith in him. Well, we read at the beginning of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1, about the lineage of this Messiah king. It says in verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so Matthew traces the lineage of Jesus all the way from David, from Abraham to David, down to the husband of Mary named Joseph. So legally, Jesus was descended from King David through his father, Joseph. Well, the king listened to this text, and his wheels began to turn, his wicked, evil scheming and planning. And so he calls the wise men secretly. When did you see the star? When did it appear? What month? When was it? And they must have shared with him. And he sent them on to Bethlehem. He heard the prophecy. He said, go and search diligently for the child. And when you found him, bring me word so that I too may come and worship him. Well, we know from reading the rest of this chapter that he was lying. He was deceiving them. He only wanted to find out where the child was so he could send his soldiers to dispatch with the child's life. Then he could sleep better at night, knowing that any rival to his throne had been exterminated. Well, the Magi, says in verse 9, listened, and then they went on their way. As they left, it says, behold, the star that they had seen when it arose in the east, went before him and appeared again, and led them to the house where the child and his mother were. They entered the house. They saw the child, and Mary. They fell down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So as they left, the star appeared. They followed it 5 or 6 miles south to Jerusalem, and it rested over the house where the child and his mother were. And so, as they entered the house, the Old Testament prophecies they'd read about, I believe, probably rushed afresh into their mind and gave them vision and realization who this child is, who he was. He's the promise of the ages, right there before him, before them. And so they were overcome with emotion and gratitude and awe. And they fell down in worship before him. Well, some interpreters of Scripture, godly and good men, believe that they were just honoring him as an earthly king. Something like the British people do, their royalty, their kings, their queens, they call them their majesty and give them honor. But I believe there's more than that happening here. I believe that they're actually worshiping the Messiah King. They're giving him glory and honor and obeisance and sovereignty as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe they knew enough of the Old Testament scriptures to realize who this child actually was, and they did not want to fail in giving him the worship and the adoration that's due unto his holy name. These men were viewing and experiencing what Paul talked about in Colossians 1:26 and 27. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. It had happened. The day had come. The Messiah King was born. The mystery hidden was now being revealed. This is Epiphany, the revelation of the Son of God as a Savior of the world. It says, to his saints, Colossians 1:27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles, like these Magi were Gentiles, great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So these wise men from the east came. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles. But what's happening here is God is revealing the first fruits of the great Gentile harvest to come. This is absolutely amazing. That shortly after the birth of Christ, might have been several months later, God is making known that this Savior was not just for the Jews, but for the Gentile nations also. The Arabs, the Italians, the Portuguese, the Chinese, the Indians, the Burmese, all these people. The Savior had come to rescue him. So here at the very beginning of the Messiah's life, God sovereignly sends Gentiles from far off Persia or Babylon to give recognition to who this child was and to give him worship. This was the earth-shaking cosmic event that had happened in Bethlehem. The Messiah King was born and entered his mission, saving his people from their sins. Now the people of Jerusalem were dull in their spiritual understanding. They were lethargic. They were even oppositional to the purpose of God. But not these wise men. They were, I believe, in tune with the Scriptures and in tune with the Spirit of God. And they were obedient. And they went. Because, you see, the exact moment in human history had arrived. Galatians 4, verse 4 says, when the fullness of time had come, everything was just right in human history for the Messiah to appear. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Paul is writing this to the Galatians, who were mostly pagans, but had come under the sway of the saving grace of the Messiah. So Paul can say to them, we, me a Jew, and you Gentiles, we have come to receive adoption as sons. How were the wise men to respond to this great cosmic event that they were viewing with their own eyes? They had to fall down. They had to fall down and worship. Now, the word in the Greek New Testament for worship is proskuneo, and it means to worship, to fall down and worship, to kneel, to bow low, to fall at another's feet. Now, sometimes it's used just to show honor and respect to somebody, but often in the scriptures it's used in this religious worship kind of way. Now, Brother Leon Morris, in his commentary on Matthew, notes this. The worship of Christ was important to the Apostle Matthew. It was part of his message. And he refers to this worship 10 times in his gospel. The worship of Jesus, for example, Matthew 14:33. Those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you're the Son of God. Out there in the Sea of Galilee, the disciples were worshipping Jesus. And then, after the resurrection, in Matthew 28:9, Mary Magdalene and other Mary went to see the tomb, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. They worshipped him. Well, these wise men worshipped the same Jesus, although he was in his early childhood. But you see, they were determined men. God had shown them this great event was happening. God was sending the Messiah King for the redemption of the world. And they grasped something of this truth by the Spirit of God. And they would not let anything stop them from going and offering worship to Him who is worthy of their worship. These wise men spared no effort in their desire to worship the Messiah King. You can only imagine what trials and hardships they might have had to experience just to get to Jerusalem. But they persevered. They resisted the opposition. They faced the hardships. And they accomplished their great desire and goal. And by the sovereign help of God, by the leading of the Spirit, they found Him. And they fell down before Him. And they worshipped Him. And they gave Him gifts worthy of a king. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. What about us today? Are we willing to spare no effort in worshiping this same Jesus Christ, Bethlehem and Nazareth? This Jesus of the cross, Jesus of the empty tomb, Jesus the ascended Lord, Jesus, the great interceding high priest of His people. There are many voices in our culture and in our own lives that are beckoning us to give our time and our attention, our energy to them. But there's another call coming to us. It's from the Holy Spirit. It's from Jesus Christ Himself. And He would say to His people, come to Me and worship Me. Worship Me, My people, in your daily lives, in your home, in your work, at the store, and worship me supremely in the gathering of my people on the day of worship. Bow before me, for I redeemed you for my own sake. Come before me, says Jesus. Learn of me. Eat the true bread of heaven and drink the cup of my shed blood. Like the wise men, be determined to worship me and let nothing stop you. So let's follow the wise men today. Follow the scriptures to be devoted and determined worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you've opened heaven's door of light and life and love to this dark and sin-engulfed world. You did this by sending your Son to redeem us, to purchase a people out of every nation, tribe, and tongue. We thank you unceasingly for your tender mercy to us in rescuing us by the blood of your Son. Help us to live faithfully to your calling as people committed and determined to worship you in our daily lives and worship you with our local church. Grant us the joy of ever-increasing worship. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
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 Let's sing. Let's stand together, please, and we'll sing, What Kind of Greatness.